Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
What's good, everybody? We hope you guys are having a great day so far. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Scaredy Cats podcast. For those of you who are new here, allow us to introduce ourselves. We are your hosts, Sway and Liz, and on this podcast, we talk about true crime, ghost stories, and basically anything scary you can think of, we're going to talk about it. So if any of that interests you, make sure to add us to your favorites and tune in every Wednesday for a brand new episode.
We also review the latest scary movies, and if you have any stories you'd like us to talk about, feel free to send us in your requests on any of our social media pages at Scaredy Cats podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with the K.
Yes, guys, and then we also do have an option available on our website. If you go on our Instagram or Facebook or even TikTok, if you click on the website that's linked there, you scroll like a little bit down, there'll be a part where you can like request a certain topic. But with all that being said, we did take a break last week because it was Lisette's birthday.
Yeah, guys, I turned 23. I keep thinking I turned 24, but I'm like, man, I was born in 2000, so like I won't be able to forget my age because I'm the age. Yeah, exactly. So like, I don't know, I just feel like I should be 24 right now. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, I don't know.
You feel
why
24?
I do. 23? I don't feel 23. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
But yeah, for Lisette's birthday, you actually went to Boise.
I did, and what's really cool is I went to this place called Repop Gift Shop. And it was my first time being there as well as my family's. And honestly, it was kind of crazy because they have a Coraline door. And if for those of you who've seen Coraline, you guys know that little door that, you know, she goes through to the little tunnel to get to the, you know, her other mothers, that they had built that door. And above it, they have like a bunch of Coraline stuff. So it's really cool. And like, even like in the entrance, when you see above, there's like a bunch of the gremlins when, you know, like they're eating popcorn and stuff. And then like they had just amazing stuff there. So definitely if you guys are in the Boise area and you're listening to this, I would definitely check out the Repop Gift Shop. We actually got a couple snacks from there too, like the Zots, I think that's how you pronounce them.
Zots.
Yeah, I honestly haven't tasted, like I haven't ate those in years, and specifically because I remember when I was younger, I was in the movie theater and I was eating one and I freaking ended up choking on one, and it was the scariest thing ever because we were watching Cars, so this was years ago,
guys.
Those
are some crazy candies though, because they like foam up
fast. So like I choked on it, and that was the last time I ever ate it. And when we went there, I'm like, man, I haven't had one since like then. So I was like, let me just, you know, eat it. So I ended up eating one. I was like, man, I remember these were as good as they were.
Back.
Yeah, it did. But I was like, oh, I forgot why I didn't eat it for a second.
Guys, Coraline is honestly one of my, I've told you this before too, but it's one of my like top favorite movies of all time to watch during spooky season.
It is.
I actually watched it like last week too with my little brother. It's just it's such a good movie.
It really is. And what's crazy too is my little sister, like you and her will watch it. Like that's the first movie we watch when it turns October, because like it's like the starter, you know?
Yeah,
and we'll watch it a couple of times throughout the month because like he said, it really is a favorite movie.
And sadly, I wasn't able to go with you guys down to Boise.
Yeah.
I regret not being able to go because that place that you guys went was so cool. That you sent me, like picture, we actually posted it on our Instagram on the Scaredy Cats page and the Sway and Liz one, where it's the Beetlejuice one.
Yeah.
Like the little sign that they had. It looks so cool.
It was honestly so awesome because they even had like a Stranger Things set up. So in there,
posted that one.
Yeah, they had a lot of like places for you to take pictures. But what's cool is that like on Star Trek, you can become like one of like, you know, the people in the ships, and he has a green screen on his phone. So you can take a picture in the seat and then he can like insert you into like an actual ship.
Cool.
Yeah, so definitely check it out, guys. It was really fun to go. And yeah,
what was the name of it again, just in case any of our listeners are in Boise?
If I'm right, I'm pretty sure it was called the Repop Gift Shop, and you guys should check it out online. It's pretty cool, and like they have some awesome photos already from like reviews and stuff. And that's mainly why we went there.
Yeah,
so the reviews did it justice because it was amazing.
Wait, I just have to ask you real quick, how the heck did you find it? Because me and you were down in Boise.
I know,
like literally literally like 3 weeks ago, and then you were down there again like almost a month ago.
I know.
And we were looking up like things to do. How'd you just come across it?
What's crazy is I just looked up stuff downtown, like shops downtown, and it ended up popping up as the first one because I stayed at this hotel on the corner of downtown, you know, across from the Record Exchange. So I looked it up and it said it was only 4 minutes away. So I'm like, huh, maybe we'll check this out. And I looked at the reviews and had like a 4.8. So I'm like, this must be a cool place. I'm like, might as well check it out because I had a plan, like the itinerary of the day, because it was my birthday. So I'm like, okay. And like mine and my brother. So we're like, let's go here. It looks fun. And then right when we walked in, I was honestly astonished because it even has Zoltar in the front. And I haven't seen Zoltar here like ever, I think.
I don't think so either. Last time we saw it is when we went to LA.
Yeah.
Remember in the Santa Monica Pier?
Yeah. So I don't see a lot of people having Zoltar machines here. So that was pretty cool too. But yeah, guys, so definitely check it out. It is the Repop gift shop in Boise, Idaho.
So, you know, we just wanted to catch up with you guys a little bit since we did take a break last week. But without further ado, today we're going to be talking about a very creepy topic. That's the Ouija board. We are going to be talking about the origins of the Ouija board and also some true stories about the Ouija board where it literally has led people to become possessed, tormented, and even commit crimes. And before we even get into any facts, any stories, you know, I always see this on TikTok, like all the time on YouTube videos as well. And you guys do not claim any negative energy from this podcast episode. We don't claim any negative energy either. We're just here for educational purposes. We're also going to be diving into some of the worst spirits you can come across in the Ouija board, and that is Zozo. It scares me just saying the name.
That scared my heart started beating.
Because the stories we are going to be talking about are very terrifying, and one of them includes a very famous YouTuber, so stay tuned for that one, guys. Before we get into like the actual story, I want to just, you know, ask you guys and you babe some questions. What are your opinions on the Ouija board? Do you think it's just a board game, or you think it's actually like you can talk to spirits and demons and stuff?
So what I find odd is that when you get a Ouija board, there's a bunch out there, right, that you can just buy. How is it
for
that
$25?
Yeah, how is it that every single one can summon a spirit? Isn't that kind of weird to think about? Like, obviously, like, you're kind of doing some kind of, like, some sort of seance, like, with candles and stuff around the board. But I just find it weird that this board can, like, have that kind of energy and move around with that. So
still, like, skeptical about
Yeah, so it's kind of weird. I kind of think that I'm in between of it saying that it is real or not. I just think it's more of the energy that you call to the board rather than the board holding that energy, if that makes sense. I don't know if that sounds like rational, but like I just feel like it's kind of odd that every single Ouija board can do that.
Yeah, that is very weird.
So maybe it's not the Ouija board that's bad, maybe
it's spirits in your house,
or the people that you're calling. And like, you know, like if you do the Ouija board, you need to make sure you close the portal, right? Is that what it is?
You need to say goodbye to like close that portal between you and like the dead.
Exactly. So I would never do it, obviously, of course, because I don't want to chance it.
I'm gonna say I'm a little skeptical about it too. I have seen some videos that seem very legit, but I'm never gonna like play it, touch it on like nothing. I can be as skeptical as I want, but I'm never going to play that game. But the odd thing to me is that how Hasbro's, whatever, however you say that toy brand, that kid toy brand, they sell Ouija boards.
See, and that's which is weird. Well, another crazy thing, guys, is I remember when we went to school, there was a kid who actually drew the Ouija board and wanted to have his art out in the hallway. And
they did put it out.
Yeah, and they put it out in the hallway, which was pretty interesting. I mean, you know, the kid did his art, and I mean, if that's what he's interested in, that's what he's interested in. No judgment there. It's just kind of odd that they put it in the hallway.
Yeah.
But with all that being said, guys, let's just dive right into the origins of this board. So in July 1898, a Baltimore native named William Fold and his brother Isaac signed a contract to manufacture and sell their latest invention, a wooden piece board game that you can contact the spirit world with, and this game was named Ouija. Once the board began selling, people all over America were obsessed with this game, and it was so popular that William couldn't keep up with the demand, so he bought 7 other locations in Baltimore, which is, you know, good for him at the time. I'm sure like he was kind of surprised that it was gonna be that like popular, but the creepy fact is that one of these 7 locations is still up to this day and is now a funeral parlor. Really odd.
During this time, people thought that the Ouija board was just a game and not to be taken seriously. But that's until Harry Houdini said that he knew lots of people who have gone mentally insane due to the Ouija board. But soon, William's game would become the number one game in America, and his company became worth over $1 million. Sadly, William became greedy and took his brother off the contract, stripping him away from all of his ownership. Crazy enough, William would go on to build a toy empire where he created, you know, returning pool tables, calculators, and lots of other popular toys at the time. But karma seemed to have caught up to him, because one day while William was up putting a flag on top of the building, he ended up falling backwards, tripped, and fell 3 stories down, resulting in his death. One of his ribs had cracked so badly it pierced through his heart. After learning about this story, I decided to look up William Fuld, and I found something very interesting on his gravestone. He had a Masonic symbol engraved above his name on his gravestone. So then I took a deeper look into that, and William actually became a member of the Masons and had lots of Masonic members investing in the Ouija board. And for those of you who may not be familiar with Masonry, they basically, you know, they're called the secret society. Most people refer to them as the Illuminati, and they basically run the world. They are said to perform, you know, satanic rituals, and if you look in Hollywood, most of the buildings that were built there were funded by Masonic members. You can see these symbols in Vegas, and even some symbols on dollar bills. But what is creepy is that celebrities such as, you know, Jay-Z, LeBron James, Scottie Pippen, and lots of other influential people practice Masonry. So William being tied with these kind of people, to me, makes it, you know, 10 times scarier, because it has to do with spirits, and then him being, you know, tied to Masonic people, that's just like odd to me.
It's a huge connection, and I guess I never like really thought about it, because like you said, the little, you know, triangle thing shape that, you know, you move around the Ouija board,
yeah,
and the,
like,
Illuminati,
it's a triangle with like a little circle, which could be the eye, the all-seeing eye.
Okay, so what if they're talking, I'm just gonna say a theory, guys, what if they're talking to like certain demons through this Ouija board for answers on how to become even more successful, or who to sacrifice,
to make, or deals and stuff,
yeah, all this crazy stuff. I don't know, it's odd. But the name Ouija came from a woman named Helen Peters, who lived in Baltimore in the 1890s, and she claimed that one day her brother-in-law Elijah and her played the game, and when she asked the board what they should call it, the planchette spelled out Ouija. She also said that she asked it what it meant, and the board responded with good luck.
I'm getting goosebumps, like, yeah. Heck no. Good luck? Like, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Good luck finding out what it means, or, you know, good luck.
Yeah. Back in the day, the Ouija board was very popular during tough times. For example, during the Vietnamese War, the Ouija board outsold the game Monopoly, another huge game board, and tons of these people during the time were losing their loved ones due to the war, so they would buy and use the Ouija board to try to get in contact with whoever they lost. Their mindset was that it's only a game, but soon some people would come face to face with pure evil. And like we said earlier, as time went by, there are so many stories where the Ouija board has caused people to commit violent crimes, possessions, and lots of other unexplainable occurrences.
The first story may sound very familiar, but we're going to be diving into a place in Spain. This family lived in the suburbs in a small town called Velisca. Concepcion and Maximo lived in a multi-unit building with their 4 children. Out of these 4 children, the main person we are going to be talking about is their teenage daughter, whose name is Estefania Gutierrez Lazaro. Around 1991, Estefania became deeply interested in witchcraft. Her parents didn't think much about it, because they believe it was just she's just going through like little stages in her teenage years. This ain't serious. But one day, Estefania woke up early to get ready for school and packed her school supplies. There was one specific thing that she put in her backpack that day, and it was a Ouija board. After school, Estefania and 3 of her other friends decided to look for a hidden spot outside their school where they could play the Ouija board. One of her friends was very eager to play the board because her boyfriend sadly passed away in a motorcycle accident, and she wanted to see if she could contact them and tell him that she misses and loves him. They ended up finding a creepy, secluded spot where they laid the board down on the floor and placed a shot glass that they were going to use as a planchette, and began the seance by lighting some candles around them. Shortly into the seance, all of them ended up getting caught by a nun who worked at the school.
The nun was very upset and leaned in to stop the girls, but while doing so, she damaged the board and then grabbed the shot glass and broke it. And honestly, I wouldn't blame her in that situation. I'd do the same exact thing.
Yeah.
But as reported, when the nun broke the shot glass, a white transparent mist came out of it and was inhaled by Estefania. Unfortunately, when the nun lifted after the glass being used as a planchette mid-seance, a Ouija board rule was broken. That rule is always say goodbye before taking your hands off or ending the game, which is what we mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And since the nun took the planchette, they were unable to do that. That day, while they were all heading home, Estefania kept saying that she felt very nauseous. Her friends told her that she might still be spooked about what the nun told them, but they ended up walking her home anyway. A few days after this incident, Estefania told her parents how she was feeling, and she also said that she keeps seeing shadow people walking around the house at night. As a result of this, Estefania then began to have insomnia, causing her to start hearing whispering voices at night.
Shortly after this, Estefania started to get seizures, and these were reported to be very violent seizures. Her family soon became very scared of her, and she would have manic attacks where she would just scream uncontrollably, and there were also moments where she would bark at her siblings like a dog and chase them. She would also violently scratch at her wall for hours and growl aggressively. And if that's not scary enough, her family reported that some nights she would sit on her bed and giggle. But keep in mind, guys, she had never acted like this before, so her family was completely terrified. And I would too, you know? Like, it was reported that she had her own room and she would just close her door. And throughout the whole night, the family would just hear her giggle. Like, imagine hearing that throughout the hallways. Gosh. Like a creepy giggle just throughout the whole night.
I'd freaking just cover myself. You know what's crazy too? Sorry guys, like a side note. When something scary happens, I always find myself covering myself with a sheet. Do you do that?
I just freeze.
Yeah?
Like I freeze and just like here.
I cover myself with the sheet thinking that it's going to protect me. But like it really isn't, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, what's terrifying to me out of this is that how she would bark at her siblings like a dog and she'd chase them around like on four legs.
You know like on Megan when she's running through the woods? That's
how she looked like. But when I was reading the article, that the family at first thought it was funny, they thought she was playing around, and then afterwards she like would bite them like hard. And that's when it became like very concerning, especially when she started scratching at her wall and like growling, and for hours she would just sit in front of her wall and do that. Imagine just her nails like
I don't know what
shaving off.
Yeah, like I don't know what I'd do if that was my kid. I think I'd immediately like call like a priest or something, because like what can you do in a situation like that?
Yeah, I don't. It's creepy. But Concepcion and Maximo would then take Estefania to a hospital to try to get her help. But after numerous studies, the doctors couldn't pinpoint what was wrong with her. Every doctor said that they didn't find anything physically or mentally wrong with her. So what is causing her to do all these things? Well, we'll soon find out, but one night, Estefania violently attacked her younger sister, and after the attack, she pinned herself on the floor and began to twist, and foam started coming out of her mouth. She was quickly hospitalized, and the morning after, Estefania sadly passed away, and her death was ruled out as unknown, but it doesn't seem to stop there.
After Estefania's death, her family began to experience all the things she had mentioned to her parents. Doors would slam at night, footsteps and sounds of people whispering could be heard throughout the house at night as well. What makes this case so popular and legit was that a year later, the police department received a phone call from Maximo saying that there is something evil in their house. The police quickly arrived and they explained to them what was going on, and as usual the officers were kind of ticked off because they said that their house was haunted. But since they were already there, the police decided to investigate. As soon as they entered the room, officers reported hearing a loud bang coming from one of the rooms, so they went and looked, but there was nobody in there. While in the room, they heard another loud thump coming from outside of the room on the porch area. When they checked once again, there was nobody there. As they closed the door, they heard sounds coming from Estefania's old room. When they rushed over and opened the door, they saw a crucifix on the ground with Jesus ripped off. One of the officers pointed at the wall, and it was the wall where the cross was on before, and it had three large scratches, almost as someone ripped off the wall violently. After seeing this, the police officers left, because what can they do? Honestly, if I was a police officer in that situation, I wouldn't know what to do, because I mean, it's like unexplainable, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. So like we said, this is one of the most popular haunted cases because of that moment the police officers had. And they filed a whole report on this, and you can still find that report online if you look it up, and it deeply describes everything that they experienced that night.
Like we said, if this story sounds familiar, is because the Netflix movie Veronica was loosely based on this story, and it because you know it differs on some parts, but it was confirmed that this is kind of like the true story they were showing, which is very creepy because like we said, Veronica is a movie that traumatizes me to this day. When I first watched it, guys, it was like horrifying.
Honestly,
that movie
is
next level scary.
It's a really, really good movie. I would definitely recommend it if you guys want to watch a good scary movie. If you guys haven't seen it yet, it's really good.
But now that brings us to our next topic, which is Zozo. This spirit is one of the most evil spirits you could ever contact on the Ouija board. The scary thing about this is that you might not even know you're speaking to it until it's too late. It is said that if you come in contact with the spirit, you quickly ask it to say goodbye and you start a new game. Unfortunately, there has been cases where the spirit will refuse to let you say goodbye, and if you make the mistake of taking your hands off or stopping it without saying goodbye, you could become possessed or tormented by the spirit for the rest of your life. And that's why you don't mess with Ouija boards.
I would never.
Yes. Like we said, this is one of the biggest YouTubers and one of my favorite YouTubers as well. It's FaZe Rug. When he was like super young, he started doing Ouija board videos, and he recently came out with a video where he sat down and talked with his cousin Anthony and another one of his cousins, and they actually came in contact with the spirit Zozo. He even claims that to this day, because they made the mistake of taking their hands off during the time they contacted the spirit, and they were playing it, I believe, with their cousin Jessica at her house. You guys can find this video. She ended up taking her hands off the board while they contacted Zozo, and after a while she ended up feeling sick and she started puking, and she said that she almost felt as if she was in like a stage of being possessed by this spirit. She literally started puking in the video and she started acting weird. So then, you know, Rug cut the cameras. He explained that he still feels like spirits following him, like he still feels that weird negative energy, and that to this day he regrets ever playing the Ouija board. It's been years now since he actually like played a Ouija board. Even his cousin Anthony says that he still goes to like the creepiest experiences ever, that he still has certain unexplainable things that happen to him that he believes could be in result of playing the Ouija board.
Yeah, I would never touch it.
Yeah, same here, guys. What do you think about this? Is the Ouija board just a game? Are people, you know, faking all those videos that we see online? Could Estefania just have developed some sort of disease out of nowhere? What do you guys think?
Not that it should be funny, but what kind of disease would make you want to walk like a dog?
Yeah.
And bark some, like, and stuff?
Split personality? I don't even think so.
I don't know.
I don't know. You think, like, she actually became possessed because of,
I think so,
the spirit that, yeah, the nun let loose?
I think so.
In reality, is that nun's fault?
Yeah.
That it was that nun's fault for breaking the glass.
You know what? I wonder if that nun experienced anything after that, though.
True.
You know, because she's the one who broke the glass.
True.
Overall, I personally think that with Estefania, like, her story was probably 100% true, because that'd be really weird if it wasn't.
Yeah, true. Yeah, and like you said, I don't really know what kind of disease that would be to make her, you know, act like that. Not even, like, if you're schizophrenic, you're that intense.
Yeah.
Let us know if you guys have ever played the Ouija board before and what you experienced if you have. Thank you guys for joining us today on this spooky episode. Don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at the Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with a K. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review letting us know what you loved about it. We would really appreciate that. But without further ado, we are out. Peace.